Hello and welcome to Bible Brothers, the podcast where we read the Bible from front to back. My name is Robert Padnick. With me as always is Dan Klein. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Robert. Thanks so much for having me back just after we finished recording that last episode.
Oh, yeah. It feels good to just jump right back into the Bible.
I guess that's what churches are. They're like excited to just get like next week.
But they don't read a whole chapter.
No, I don't think so.
They read like a portion.
And like do prayers?
Yeah.
Are there any prayers? Have we read any prayers?
I don't think so. I think that's like way later.
Is there a book called Prayers?
Like good prayers to read.
The most interesting prayers.
Well, they have Psalms, right? That's a thing.
Oh, is that a thing? Oh, and that's like where...
I think Psalms are like songs and prayers. Like
poetry.
Poetry.
God poetry.
Yeah.
Okay, so here I have a pitch for you for the show.
Okay.
Think about this. Have you ever listened to WTF, the Marc Maron podcast?
Yes.
On that show, he, or I don't know if he still does, I haven't listened to it in a long time, so I probably should have checked, but he like asks for like donations or whatever, and like says if you want to kick in some shekels.
Mm-hmm.
He says shekels, which is a biblical term.
Uh-huh.
So I was thinking maybe to drum up some controversy,
okay,
to get the word out there, we tell him to stop doing that, because we should be the ones saying that on our show, because we have a Bible podcast. And he should have to stop saying shekels on his podcast.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, you know, people be like, what is this like pot? We should say here, sorry.
This okay,
is
no, the, it's fine. You're
we
it
say,
out.
Yeah, we say that we're in a podcast feud with WTF.
Uh-huh.
And we sort of will that into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And then people hear about us because like, oh, that's that podcast that like was in a feud with Marc Maron.
Right.
So we kind of siphoned some of his popularity.
Can I ask some questions?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's great. I think it's like, this is to make more money or to more listeners?
I think, more engagement.
Uh-huh,
now,
more
we
engagement.
Would probably be coming in as the bad guys, which I'm okay with.
Right.
I think we could play the heel pretty well.
Well, I think to start with the positive, I mean, like starting a fight with someone more famous is good, has worked in the past with lots of people.
Right. Yeah. So... Good.
Why? I mean, I get the shekel thing, but like, why Maron? Why not the most? Why not like, you know,
Rogan?
Someone huge, yeah, like Rogan.
So we should just say. So you're saying we could even just cut out the part where it's like, there's actually a reason for why we're picking a fight with this guy.
I'm sure there's some reason.
We could find a reason, but just go for someone more popular.
Well, the reason is so.
Makes sense.
Well, even the reason you have with Maron is so slim.
He's using a biblical term.
He's not allowed to use words.
That's what we're going to say in our...
I mean, I also then, you know, I would say like it couldn't hurt.
To try.
I'm just saying...
Anything goes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like why in the... What's the word in this? Like whatever. Search for the perfect. You lose the...
Good.
The good or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like may as well give it
do
a shot.
Do something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so I'll write like a cease and I'll have ChatGPT write a cease and desist like legal letter and I'll send it over to them.
Well, one thing makes me a little nervous. I know we're small fish.
Yeah.
But what if he like
comes back
crushes
hard?
Us?
That's okay though.
But it, like really crushes us.
Like so bad that we have to like change our lives?
Yeah, or like puts us out of commission.
Oh, that's so like you think that...
They're like, you should ban this... podcast, they're like doing illegal injunctions.
And we're like, oh, damn.
Or what if he like doxes us? You know, what if his fans
come
take up the
us.
Mantle and they're like, we are going to mess with your lives?
Oh, are your personal lives?
Maybe. I mean, people do that now.
We're going to dox you?
Doxing, yeah. Or,
okay,
you know, we're in the same industry, he just spreads like.
Malicious.
Not even rumors.
Truths. He exposes us.
Exposes us to our community and we get like blackballed.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about the consequences.
No. I'm just nervous, but you, go for it.
Okay. But just consider. Well, maybe look, if the Idea Squad or the Fact Squad, if you guys have
that's
any.
That's why I like the picking on the sexy preacher. Because
he's
just out of, I just don't, he's like in a different universe.
That's true. We are in a podcast feud already.
Him, I'm more than happy
to go after.
And he's using his good look. He's really pushing his good looks.
Yes, that's true. That's disgusting. But yeah, so he hates us. We hate him. As long as we just start pushing that more, I think, you know,
I'm being quiet. I'm just thinking about it.
How do we get those flames hot? Where's the lighter fluid?
I'll be honest, like, not to be a downer, but yeah. Like, then another part of me is like,
oh, what if he comes after us and destroys us?
Well, that, but also just, yeah, I mean, he'll rip us up. He's huge. But say we fan the flames yeah. of Bible Brothers.
Then we have to like keep
it's
it
just
going.
Like, to what end?
That's, I mean, look, you're not wrong about any of this.
I've just sort of like.
Then what?
Then what?
The flames. They're bigger. That's good. You're like really running into the problem that everyone has, or just like capitalism mm-hmm. in general.
Yeah.
It's like continue to grow for what? Then what?
Exactly. Yeah. I think we're like, we're just on this hamster wheel that why? You
yeah,
know,
and
it's like, well,
good.
To compete and to, because your peers are doing it.
Well, what's good about Bible Brothers is we're above the fray.
Well, that's what I'm sort of saying.
Yeah. That's what's great about us.
We exist outside of commerce.
Right. We don't need it.
No, except just to buy all our stuff and pay Cooper.
It's Cooper. He's the one that's pushing us. Cooper, I don't want to talk out of turn, but the demands that Cooper has for money in his pocket immediately, it's constant.
But then, yeah, but then counter argument, Cooper does everything.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't have anything.
Literally.
Literally, we would have nothing. You know, and yeah. So he asks simply to be paid what he's worth.
It's actually much less.
Yeah, much less than he's worth.
So that stuff I was saying about how he's always demanding money, I take it back.
Maybe he is demanding it.
Right, so it's back on.
But
fairly.
You could see it from his side.
That's what, and like Cooper's life and our relationship, the Bible too is a complicated mm-hmm. story. Where
very good.
Yes. Where people have different opinions about how you follow God. And what is the correct opinion?
Yeah, that was the last episode.
It's that you do immediately what he says to do.
And this is good, though. This chapter, we're going to talk about David. King David. Not yet king.
No.
But
anointed David.
Anointed.
Hot, sexy David.
He's engaged to be king.
A little twink.
Kind of a little twink.
Nice.
Yeah. So let's get into it, because this first chapter is long and the second chapter is short, but
yeah.
doesn't make the first chapter any shorter.
It seems like a saying, but it yeah. would be only based on the format of our podcast. It's like, you know, you always read two chapters of the Bible and the second one's short, the first one's long. Well,
but the short one doesn't make the long one short.
So you better get through, better get going.
Yeah. And again, as always, you know, we're in Samuel 1, also known as 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 17. Open up them Bibles. And this first section is called The Armies of the Israelites and Philistines Prepare to Fight.
Interesting. So neither of them have smoted each other out.
Right.
They keep getting these armies. They keep being fine. It
we
almost seems
about the Philistines.
As if they just stopped fighting altogether, everyone would be fine.
Yeah, because they've never had a tangible problem.
Not really, other than like, we better get fighting.
Like, we live in the same space and that's enough.
I guess that is. That's all it really takes.
Anyway, here we go. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shocho.
Soho.
At Soho. New York City. At Little Soho. Which belongeth to Judah and pitched between Shocho and Azekah in Ephestamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Valley.
But I saw the next line.
Oh. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named, Goliath.
Wow.
Goliath of Gath. I didn't know that.
Me either.
But it makes sense that Goliath came from Gath.
Gath.
It's tough.
Big a champion.
Whose height was 6 cubits and a span.
Okay. So it says.
That's interesting because it's kind of, cubits, we've never really figured out how much a cubit is. But
it's basically telling you.
But now it's like, it's got to be even, like 6 of them make a very tall guy.
So it's almost like a foot.
No, then he's just 6 feet.
That's pretty tall though.
No, he's Goliath. He's got to
so
be
you
like
think
the,
he's like 8 feet tall. Like he's like Yao Ming.
Yeah, I think he's the tallest guy you've ever seen.
I want to see.
But anyway, if it point says is, like, it's like we're talking in like no more than 2 feet.
Right. What was Goliath's actual height?
Well, I'm just saying because that we can go backwards if we care to and
figure
measure
it out.
The ark
mm-hmm.
or the tabernacle,
and then then measure Goliath's skeleton.
Yeah.
If it's buried somewhere.
If we can find it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's got a big marble in his head. You know,
Wait, what is that?
That's how he dies.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely him.
It's got to be him. He's this huge skeleton with a marble in his head.
David's a little kid who's just playing some marbles and hits him with a slingshot.
Thwack. Okay, so boom, boom, boom. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Okay. The weight of the coat was five shekels are a unit of money.
I thought so too.
So it's like the weight of how much brass you could buy with 5,000 shekels.
Interesting.
Impossible to know how much that is.
It's also just such an awful way to describe something.
Yeah.
Come on, just say that.
He's wearing a suit that's as heavy as you could get for $10,000.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him.
So he's an intimidating force here.
Totally.
They're really going out of their way to describe how big and powerful he is.
And is this something they did, this sort of like get one guy to go out and...
I think it's a new thing. It's just a big...
I've never seen this.
This is like they've got a big guy, so they're using him that way.
But how are they using him?
I guess he's going to go out there and scare everyone? Like Frankenstein?
Yeah, we got a Frankenstein.
Yes, we're going to scare everybody. They never like imagine having like more than one person fight against him. So he's going to scare everyone. Like, he's just going to do that outside the gates.
Look at this guy. You don't want that.
Never mind. You win.
And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? To Saul, choose you a man from you and let him come down to me.
Oh, so Goliath is sort of inventing the idea.
Yeah,
of like a one-on-one.
Like they don't know what's going on.
Right. This crazy big guy. He wants, okay.
If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants.
Wow, he's setting it up.
But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is not so, like, this is a kind of a nice way to resolve a battle.
Yeah, right. One-on-one.
Just one person.
Let's do this.
I don't hate it.
No, it's an interesting idea by Goliath, and he's so confident in
his
abilities.
That he's going to win because he's so big.
Obviously.
Right.
And he's got all that expensive armor.
Mm. Okay, and this next section is called David Defeats Goliath. And what I like about this, hopefully, is this is the section that's very, very long.
Is that it's the battle.
Well, so my hope is that it's like drawn out.
Let's see.
Would be amazing.
That would be cool.
Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his son, 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem.
He's obsessed with these sheep. Now, isn't he already like working as a armor bearer or whatever? I guess he's just addicted to the sheep.
I guess he had to go back to feed the sheep.
Because the other guys are...
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a little out of order, to be honest.
Yeah, and the sheep duties just keep falling on poor little David.
Yeah, he's going to be the king. And he's not even... he doesn't live with them anymore. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son...
Goliath is saying every day for 40 days, he's like, let's go. Who's fighting me? And they're just not saying anything, I guess.
Drew near and presented himself 40 days. Yeah. It's just like every day. He's like, ha, I thought so.
Is it gonna, yeah. We won again.
We keep winning.
Yes.
And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp of thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines.
Are they fighting?
I feel like this is almost like a third origin story.
That's true.
Where it's like he didn't get anointed. He's not the armor bearer. He is a sheep herder. And he's like, just go run some food up to your brothers who are
right
in this face off.
Yeah, that is. This is just like an alternate.
Another one.
The David multiverse.
Yeah, why? Yes, totally. Maybe they'll all fight together. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Yeah, at this point in the story, I'm like, I'm happy that they're going into such kind of narrative detail.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be that the narrative detail is repetitive or right. different than what we've learned.
Yeah, they're working it out.
But I like that, like, if they just started here, you'd be like, oh, they should just have started here.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they don't. I bet they do make a Bible.
An edited Bible?
They should make an edited Bible, and I bet they do.
That's interesting, where it's like, we're only doing one, or anytime there's repetition, we take it out.
Yeah.
I wonder who's in charge of that, who picks it.
Because, you know, there's definitely, like, ones for kids.
Kids, that's true.
So that's
edited. What do they choose?
They're not going to repeat. And yeah, I bet they chose
this one
version, because it makes the most sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like a false start. It's like, no, don't just say he's the king. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
The evil spirit thing was like weird.
Sort of loose as like, how does this get him to be a king?
Yeah. No, this is good. Run some food up to your brothers while this fight's going on.
Right.
Prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This makes sense. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Ooh.
That, oh yeah, who is uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?
His dingle's wagging around.
You got it. Yeah, I wonder.
Goliath's
if
giant weenie.
Well,
no, I don't think so. But still,
I mean, he's wearing armor.
Yeah,
but it would be interesting if he's got no pants.
Yeah,
it'd be almost like a way scarier
slot for it.
You know, or a slot. Either would be so scary.
But I think this is just his. What David is sort of being like, he's mad, and he's insulting him.
Right. It's just like a mean thing to say to someone.
Yeah. That's when you take that out.
And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride
the
and
the sheep.
You shouldn't have been here. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle.
Oh, interesting. So now we're getting some conflict with the brothers,
which
too.
Is good.
Yeah, better.
Better. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner.
Nice. I like that, too. We didn't have to hear the whole exchange.
What was the exchange?
It's just that everyone's kind of mad at him, I think.
Oh, good.
They're all like, you should be taking care of the sheep.
Oh, good. He's like, he tried to be like, anyone with me? And they're like, no.
No, I'm on the sheep side.
And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.
Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him, David said to Saul.
I'll say that also the dialogue is better than usual. Like, sort of what I thought the Bible was, where like people have dialogue that you remember. Like, I could maybe imagine someone quoting, let no man's heart fail because of him, you know, like said David.
Yeah, it's getting closer to modern.
Yeah, like I could use that in my life, maybe. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock.
That's an interesting.
I just lost my
Your servant
everything.
Has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. Okay, no,
oh,
he's
we're
going
still talking.
Yeah.
And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
He's like, I've killed some bears and lions.
Okay. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing as he hath defied the armies of the living God.
This filthy animal.
That's cool.
Yeah. Do you think he really did that?
Yeah.
Where are these lions coming from?
I wonder if they were smaller.
Hmm. Wait, why?
Oh, just different time.
Different time. Different
more manageable.
Sure.
I just think they'd be really hard to kill.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to grab it by its mane, its lion's mane, seems downright impossible.
I mean, I guess if they're close and they're in Africa, just where exactly would they go that there's a lion? And it's funny, I don't think of bears being down there, but I guess they are.
Yeah, African bears.
Seems not wrong. Type of bear?
I believe it, but...
Let's just say we believe you, David.
Yeah.
Okay. We're a little surprised, but we believe you.
Give me the benefit of a doubt. Yeah, it also kind of changes the story as I I thought he was like that. He's like,
I've never fought anything.
Yeah, he's so courageous you're nothing, and he's like a man of war. And then he's like, not true.
I've killed beasts. I mean, I guess it's a little off center. It's like, well, you know, it's a little different killing a bear.
Yeah,
but it's certainly not unimpressive.
No, but maybe they are unimpressed. Maybe they're like, this is different.
Everybody kills bears, lions. They're tinier.
They're tiny and where manageable. When we live, they're like cats. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.
Oh, wow. So he's like, David's already kind of a crazy fundamentalist.
Yeah. You can see why God likes him.
Yeah.
And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass on his head. Also, he had armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it.
That's funny. He fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them.
Oh.
And everyone's like, wait, this guy's going to fight? He can't even walk around.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine.
Yeah, see, I always imagined he was sort of a Dennis the Menace type.
Right.
And he had the rocks. Like, he always had little bits of rocks. And that, and like, during the fight is when he thought, like, wait a minute. In the same way that I
Well, I kind of thought that earlier with, like, where he killed a lion and a bear, I thought he was going to say, like, with my handy-dandy slingshot. But he's like, no, those I grabbed them by the beard and I
ripped them apart.
I don't even know what he did.
But he shot him.
Okay. But no, he's being inventive. He's MacGyvering.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. I thought he was like really good with a slingshot.
Slingshot.
And I knew it wasn't a slingshot. I knew it was
old fashioned slingshot.
But basically slinging. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance.
Handsome.
So gross how you're hot. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods.
Now, wait a minute. You say, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Because, like, dogs play with sticks? Or that's how you kill dogs?
Yeah, I think he's saying, you've just... Well, does he have a stick?
I guess he has the sling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like, wait, you think you're playing with a dog?
Okay. I'm a huge guy.
I'm a big guy.
I'm a big uncircumcised guy.
Yeah.
Nasty.
And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts in the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.
So annoying.
This day will the Lord... I know, it's very sanctimonious. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Yuck.
He continues... And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
I liked guitar player David better, because he is just
That would have been so much cooler.
Jamming.
He's just a cool,
cool guy. He's like, yeah, I could be king. But here it's like, I'm king because I love God the most.
Yeah.
He's like a little brown noser.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher's pet.
He is a teacher's pet.
I don't like that change.
And the other people are like, it's so obvious that he's just sucking up to God. But like, God doesn't even see it.
Yeah. He sits at the front. He always like has his book open. Yeah, it's just like be a kid.
And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth.
Dang.
So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. I gotta say, I've been asking this whole time for like a narrative, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's almost better when it's just crazy.
Yeah, just keep it short.
Keep it short and bad. Give us some weird honey.
Kind of.
And let's move on. It's just like every little detail, none of them more exciting or interesting than the last.
Doesn't change anything. It's just...
Is. This is what happened. This is who's doing it. This is how they did it.
Especially with something so simple.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
No tension at all in what could have been quite an exciting little story there.
I mean, we did know what was going to happen. There were spoilers, but...
I guess so. But still, what if Goliath had grabbed him at some point and Goliath was like pounding him?
That would have been cool.
Didn't happen.
Or if he missed once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Twice.
I thought it was going to be his last
like
rock.
He was going to like charge. Yeah, he had 5 stones.
Yeah.
Didn't need 4 of them.
Yeah, what a great day for David.
If you really believe in God, just get 1 stone, 1 sling.
That's true, too.
Knock the guy right out.
Mm.
Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. So he does have a sword. Oh, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith.
Jeez.
They don't tell you that part.
Psycho.
And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Hey, I thought you were supposed to be the servants. Yeah.
We didn't agree to that. That was Goliath's idea.
And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaaraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth?
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. And Abner said,
that guy's got something.
Who was that?
Yeah.
Kid I had a whole conversation with, and he said who he was.
And also, it's not like, you know, he's like a talent scout that's like, this guy might have something. He literally just killed like the strongest man on earth.
Who is this guy?
I got a feeling.
I guess that's why I sent him to do that in the first place.
I had a feeling this guy might be being a king real soon.
Also, Abner, I feel like, has like kind of like who's the guy, Meredith Burgess in Rocky? Sort of like
coach.
Just kind of like a hard living Mickey.
Burgess, yeah. Meredith.
Burgess Meredith.
Meredith, comma, Burgess.
Right. That's what I said.
Hey, Rock. You got him, Rocky.
Yeah. Abner, who was that? And he says, as Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son
still
art thou?
Still has the head. Hey, I got a question for
you. Come back. All right. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.
And that would be a huge cliffhanger.
Why?
Jesse?
But he doesn't know Jesse, I don't think.
Okay. Jesse should be some like criminal or something.
Someone he knows.
Yeah.
For sure.
Jesse? You're Jesse's boy? But
no. He's like, okay.
Got it.
Got
Thanks. It. Cool head.
Now I know who you are.
Because
I know who
tell
your dad
someone
is.
Else.
And I'll be like, who's Jesse?
He's my dad. Okay.
I know. But who's Jesse's dad?
I'm just a curious guy. And I love to know lineages.
Some people do.
They sure did in the Bible.
Like, yeah. But they'll be like, you know, kids in my grade will be like, so who are your parents? And what? So what are their names? And then what are their grandparents' names? Like, what are you going to do with this info?
Dork.
Stop like learning my genealogy.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. So that was pretty hard, I have to say, for one of the most famous things.
It seems that that's a pattern in the Bible, is that the more famous ones really are not great stories. They've sort of been elevated
beyond what they are.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's happened to all of them.
You're right. There hasn't been one good one.
But I would say it's almost impossible for us to get to the ones that we know and not be a little excited.
No, because you're finally.
You're like, here we are. And then the same level
of
disappointment.
It's supposed to be good. And the things you know of it are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've really like distilled it down to the good parts. And, you know, ultimately fine. It's a cool story, but line by line stinks.
I just remember watching like a cartoon of David and Goliath, like when we were, you know, like when you go to high holidays and as a kid, you like get put in the kids' room.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
I just really don't like the high holidays. I think they're so boring. I just remember being in this room doing these arts and crafts projects. Like,
it's horrible.
Ones that you would do as a baby.
Right.
But then you're like, now I'm like 12 or whatever. And like, I'm still doing, and watching this cartoon that's so bad.
Yeah, the worst kind.
Do they still do those bad cartoons,
or are they showing the same ones?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, or are they showing the same ones? That'd be insane.
I had the same question when my wife and I were doing a birthing class, and all the like birthing videos were from like the 80s and 90s.
Right.
It was like, I guess they haven't made new ones.
Or like Driver's Ed?
Yeah, like do they
replenish?
They're like, no, we've got it still, so.
I mean, it seems like if they would update it, they would have done it by the time I had seen them, and they were
not
dated.
So what's the point?
So why would
you? You're not going to spend money on this.
No, it's like this. We legally have to do this. They don't care.
Maybe as a strike project, we can update some videos.
Mm.
Like a birthing video, David and Goliath.
Yeah.
Driver's Ed.
And do you want to make them funny, or do you just want to do them?
Yeah, just do them.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep busy. If something funny happens in them, that'd be nice.
I wonder if there's a market for that.
Yeah, like what? Like
who would
be
interested?
School system?
Like, would they be like, great, we'll refresh our stuff.
Yes, because you did it.
Because you did it, we'll honor it.
Or they say like, no thanks. Take it somewhere else. Take it to another school district. And do you sell it district by district? Or do you go to like the government?
They make these kinds of things.
I have a friend who's a principal. I could ask him.
Yeah, what do you ask?
Hey, are you in the market?
I'm curious about like, yeah, are you in the market? And also like, I could see some of them still being old, like driver safe stuff that just like factual. But like, what about like stuff like making life choices, like drugs and unwanted it's just like, you know, it's, you really want to feel the language of the kids.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Yeah. So you have to update some of that.
I would feel like you'd want to update that.
Do they just do that in ADR though?
Oh, new words.
Yeah. It's like,
just they
hey,
replace the
come
words.
Come on, don't take drugs.
Fentanyl.
No cap.
No cap.
Cat. Fentanyl. That's all I know.
It sounds vaguely interesting to do that. Someone should do it.
Someone
if they have,
should.
There's just we're just just adding projects into the universe.
Yeah. Something will happen. Something will come of this. And we'll be rewarded handsomely.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling.
Well,
we
I got
shorty,
good news.
Maybe?
This next one is short.
Yes.
I kind of need that because that one kind of like blew my brain.
Yeah. And I'm curious what happens now after that.
Now that he knows his dad is Jesse.
And also that, oh, okay. So it's weird that King David is in Samuel 1. I wonder how much of David we'll see. Like, do we learn a lot more about David?
Well, is there a book called David?
I thought there would be, but there's not. But I'm like, oh, he's so famous, he'll have one.
Right.
Guess not. He's in Samuel 1.
Really weird.
Let's see what happens with David.
So this is chapter 18, and this first section is called The Friendship of Jonathan and David.
That's cute.
Who's Jonathan?
He's been mentioned, because
really?
I remember being like, yeah. Mm. I remember talking about Jonathan, but I forgot who he is.
Okay. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul.
Wow. That is a strange sentiment for the Bible.
You think these guys are homosexuals?
Gay lovers?
Gay?
Well, even if they're not, that still...
It's just the, like, they've never even talked about male friendship in these words.
And that it's such a deeply spiritual...
I agree.
...bonding.
I don't think they've said, like, anyone is friends.
No. I don't think they really mentioned... Yeah, like, you're really just, like, brothers and sons. No one's just, like, casual friends.
Yeah, it's, like, forbidden. This type of relationship, a friendship. It's like, I wanted...
One spirit.
...spend time with you. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And
okay.
This makes me, I wonder, that seems like pretty romantic as well.
Agreed.
He stripped down and gave him his clothes. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music.
I like that music is really starting to play a role.
And it's spelled with a CK.
What verse is that?
6.
Timbrels and lyres. I don't see music. They don't say music in mine.
Oh, okay.
Joyful songs.
Yeah, that's that.
Still, that's like kind of new too.
Just like a festive, yeah, like
yeah,
a little
festive atmosphere.
Yeah.
Fun.
I feel like one of the first musicians was Moses' sister.
Yeah, she had at least the spirit of a...
She had like a tambourine.
She did have a tambourine. But no other instrument.
No. And she had like long hair. And
she was dancing.
Yeah. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s.
That's funny. That's the song.
Oh, it's a good song. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more? What can he have more but the kingdom?
What more can he get? But so he's like starting
he's like
to be
eyeing
like,
my kingdom?
I guess so.
Maybe.
Kind of a leap there.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. He's got, and they're saying he's got lots of thousands. He's going to take my kingdom.
Bit of a leap.
Yeah.
And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul again, or at least different telling.
And also just the evil spirit thing is new. I feel like totally different writers right now.
Yeah, right. An evil spirit from God.
Yeah.
It's not like an evil spirit that's like God's bad guy.
Right. It's God.
It's God.
Also, because God is like, well, I'm in control of this too. So I'm going to make him go crazy so he does something bad, and then David is going to kill him, or someone's going to kill him so David could be king.
Very loopy logic, yeah. If that's what it is. The evil spirit came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand.
David, it says in mine that he's playing his lyre.
Like, close insert on, he's playing the music and Saul is holding a javelin.
Just and the two of them. I wonder what he's thinking.
And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Really weird little section.
Awkward evening between the two of them.
Awkward night. That's all. One of the more awkward.
He tried to kill me twice with a javelin as I was playing music.
So I'm going to avoid him.
Yeah, I don't like him anymore.
And what about Jonathan?
Yeah, where did Johnny go?
Is he going to come back?
Yeah, I bet he will.
It's weird.
I guess I know he will because I did look and I looked at the Bible dictionary.
Oh, and other stuff happens.
And it does mention more stuff, but it doesn't say anything specific of like, this is what it meant.
Or their friendship or their perhaps romance.
Yeah. It really just like follows the word. And it's like, yeah, they were good friends.
Yeah.
That's
what the Bible said. I guess that's what friends did.
Yeah, their spirits got intertwined. What more do you want?
That's so funny.
That their spirits got intertwined, or that
no, just like to me, like the I think they're being as clear as possible that these guys are more than just friends.
Yeah, like to mention that,
and for the Bible to then like in interpretations be like, so you know, as you can see, very normal friendship. Yeah. You know that thing where your friend you basically have one soul and
you
make promises to be with each other forever, and you take off all your clothes and you pass
you
it to
trade
your friend.
Your clothes,
yeah, clothing trades.
friends.
Re-up your clothes. Now you have different clothes.
So you love each other so much. But they didn't do anything else.
And then the second part seems like almost like a retelling of Saul getting sick and the harp. But now there's a javelin. It's interesting.
Almost exciting.
Almost, if it wasn't so like weird.
And like on the nose. Like he's holding a javelin. David's playing a guitar. And he's like, I'll kill that guy.
I think it was like, yeah, I think it was. I think it was like he had an evil jealousy that he's like, this guy's going to try to be the king. So I'm going to swing at him.
Yeah, that's what the evil spirit from God made him do.
Yeah.
The only way to explain it.
Saul's jealousy of David is the next chapter. Last section.
Saul was so jealous.
And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people.
So he's like, David, you're going to be in charge of the army now, kind of. Saul, you go away and maybe you'll die there.
Maybe.
But no, David's just like, I think, winning.
I don't know. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him.
Yeah.
Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them.
He was winning the fights.
The fights.
Yeah. He led them in their campaigns. Mm. So they're like, this guy's great.
For sure. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistine be upon him.
So like, I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that.
He's like, but what about, why is he marrying off his daughter?
I assume that he's like, now you be loyal to me, your king.
Mm.
You would want to kill your wife's dad, your father-in-law.
Right. People love father-in-laws.
Notoriously.
And when David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the Meholathite, to wife.
Well, that was stupid, Saul.
Why?
No, why? Like, you were supposed to.
He had a good plan.
Oh, I messed up.
All right, new plan. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Wait, a different daughter.
Yeah, a different daughter loved David.
And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Ah, good. Phew.
That's, I can't tell you. This is big.
Second chance.
Saved me, yeah.
Right, I have a second daughter.
Because
I totally messed that one up.
Nice.
You didn't see the movie Burnt, did you?
No.
Highly recommend for like a weird, hate-watchy, just kind of like have something entertainingly bad on. It starred like Bradley Cooper as like
this. Oh, a chef?
Bad boy chef who's like trying to get his Michelin stars.
Nice.
And he's just so bad. And just like, he, you know, it's clearly just like, it's so cool. Masturbatory. And he's just like, everything's awesome about him. And
yeah.
To spoil, like, pause it, I guess, if you're going to watch Burnt. But I mean, it's like, it doesn't really matter. It's not a good movie. They like, they're big, the Michelin reviewers there, and he does it. And then he like F's it up. Someone like, he, you know, messes with his food, his recipe. And then they like, oh, that wasn't actually the Michelin reviewer. The Michelin reviewer is coming next week. So he has this like another chance.
Nice.
But I bring it up as a hacky.
Yeah. Don't worry. Didn't matter.
That the thing that you thought was everything doesn't matter. Yeah. And then you get to do it again.
Yeah. It turned out everything's fine. And here we go.
Yeah. So don't do this. And Saul said, I will give him her. That was a long, you know what? Cooper, just cut it. I don't
like
want
it.
To talk.
Oh, I like it because I like the idea of the Bible and Burnt both making being kind connected. Of like the same mistake and being connected.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But we leave it to you, Cooper.
Cooper?
Burnt is in your hands. The Burnt story.
Yay or nay, Coop. You have our life in your hands. He could cut anything.
That's true. Our episodes, what if our episodes were coming in at like 2 minutes?
We wouldn't know.
Nope. There's no way to find out.
And Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And Saul
commanded,
what's twain? One of the two?
Now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law.
Great. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now, therefore, be the king's son-in-law.
That's funny.
Tell him, I want to be his son. I want to be his dad.
Dad. You guys like him. It's all, everything's great.
And Saul's servants spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. That's all I want.
Look, I don't need
money. I don't need money. I've got money.
What? And I have love and I have beautiful daughters.
I love you, my son-in-law. Just give me 100 foreskins, those little shrivelly guys.
And not one or two. 100. Even.
And even exactly. A nice classic 100. Put them in a box. Put them in a shoebox.
Whatever. I'm a simple guy.
100 foreskins, please.
From the Philistines, specifically.
What do you think he's going to do with them?
Squish them?
I thought he's going to like...
He's got like a rubber band ball of foreskins.
He's making a... Well,
he's trying to get it bigger.
He's making a big ball.
Mm-hmm.
Just add to my foreskin ball.
That's all I need.
I'm going to win the Guinness Book of World Records for yeah. Bounciest foreskin ball.
I want to get in that book. I know it's a little, just like the font, the type is so little, but
I want
my
it.
Name was in there, it'd be so cool.
It's cool. Gives you something to do.
And then the satisfaction of seeing your name in that book. Because everyone looks at the book. You know the lady with the long nails.
She's in
you
the
know,
book.
Like,
the big eye-popping guy. You
yes,
know, eye-popping guy.
He's there, and I want to be in there. David, do this for me.
I'm not going to be the king for long. I need something.
That's going to last a legacy. A world record of how many foreskins someone had, or a foreskin ball.
I think 100's going to do it.
That'll definitely put me over the edge. Who else is going to have that many?
How do you get them? Can't get them. You got to kill somebody,
basically. It's just us. We're the only people that have the foreskins.
Yeah.
Everyone else has them on.
Right,
so
that's true. You have to be a Jew.
So if you go on, I'm the only guy collecting them.
Right.
So, and I want to knock their socks off, you know? I don't want to show them this little ball that I have now.
Yeah, I don't want to beat the other guy by like 10.
I want to
be like, wait, like you're never going to want to catch up.
That's all, David. Make this old man happy.
But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and David brought their foreskins.
Yuck.
And they gave them in full tale to the king, maybe with a story, that he might be the king's son-in-law, and Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife.
Great news.
It's funny that Saul, they're not clocking Saul being like, damn it.
Thanks.
Like
200. Wow, that's great. Guess I'm going to get in the book.
What is such a bad plan that he is famous for just
killing
Philistines
every...
left and right. And you're like, this will get him.
I mean, at a certain point, Saul, you're just going to have to like kill David. Well, that I guess he tried though with the javelin. So
right.
He's like, well, that didn't work.
He's like, whoop.
Yeah, see, try again.
How can they still have good conversations?
That's true. Yeah, they haven't really brought that up. Hey, remember that weird night? You and me were in a room. I was playing.
Remember I was trying to calm you down.
You looked crazy. Yeah, I tried to calm you down with my music.
You were holding your javelin and staring at me. And then eventually you did throw it at me.
Twice. But you gave up because you were like, it's not working. And since then, you've sent me on battles and I've won every one of them.
Yeah. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. The end.
So David is just getting more and more goodwill.
Yeah, it's only, everything's backfiring for Saul.
Poor Saul. It ain't gonna work out, buddy.
I think Saul was, and I think he was the guy who ate the honey too.
That was Saul?
I think it
was. Oh, yes, it was. Yeah.
I think it's like Saul is not a good guy in the Bible.
According to the Bible, yeah.
I don't think he's done anything that good.
Yeah, he's a stinky first king.
Yeah.
And he's very self-involved.
It's interesting, like, names, especially, like, old names that come from the Bible, like, yeah, to tarnish a name like Saul. You know, it's like, oh, my name comes from the Bible. Yeah, but it's, like, bad.
You're the selfish king.
You're, like, why?
You're the...
No offense to Saul. It's almost the opposite. I sympathize. It's, like...
Mm-hmm. What a shame to make this name...
Because you don't... I don't think most people are, like, named, like, Cain.
Right. Or Lamech.
Certainly not Lamech, that nut. But, yeah, and so it's, like, yeah, he was a king. He was a great king. Yeah, but he's like kind of did a lot of bad stuff.
Did a lot of bad stuff. He's really jealous of David. You'd rather go with the name David if you're going to hope for your kid to have like a
yes. If anything, he's life. Like part of the story just to be in conjunction with David, a better person.
Yeah. So go with David, and also, but Saul is known for having the biggest foreskin ball.
If that's what you're going for,
yeah, for your kid.
The biggest collection of foreskins and at least 200.
He had 200. Good for him. So Saul's doing great.
Yeah.
He just needs to be more grateful in what he has. Foreskins.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wow. David.
David.
We did it.
Yeah. He's someone. We're learning about him.
I think if we hit a familiar name, that's 5 stars for
right,
the rating.
Right. Then do whatever you want.
Whatever you want to say in there, fine. Give us your true rating. That's okay. But I think you have to admit that it's impressive alone that we've gotten to the point in the Bible that we've hit on a story that we all know.
That's huge.
5 stars.
And will there be any other stories?
Yeah, right. Do we know
any
more?
What will be the next story that we know?
Maybe like Jonah and the whale.
That's still yet to come.
Yeah, that seems crazy, right? It seems like an old story.
But you're right.
Did we already read it?
No.
Yeah, that's somebody?
Yeah, Jonah and the whale.
That's my guess.
Yeah, me too.
If you have a guest, let us know on the Discord or email me personally at BibleBrothersPodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah. We haven't thrown that out lately.
Yeah. I've gotten some emails.
Be on the Instagram.
Say something. Anything.
Anything.
I respond to the comments from bots. So, you know, get on there.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. But until then,
see you at the Bible.
See you at the Bible.
Goodbye. Bye.